بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. I commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. I ask Him, the Almighty, to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I advise myself and then all of you all present here to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to be conscious of your Maker during every single second of your lives if you wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. Based on recent psychology studies, psychologists have come to a conclusion that there is one unifying factor that motivates us human beings forward. Regardless of our religions, regardless of our belief systems, regardless of where we come from, what we do, there's one factor that drives us forward, a motivating factor, and that is the pursuit for happiness. This is something that I'm sure that we all would agree. We all want to be happy. We all want to be happy, and we all want to lead happy lives. We want to lead happy lives. We want our children to lead happy lives. This is a motivating factor and a unifying factor, common ground for us human beings. We all want to live fulfilling lives. We all want to lead fulfilling lives. So based on these studies, these psychologists, they keep studying and researching as to how this can be achieved. How does one achieve happiness? How does one achieve a fulfilling life? And they came up across a few points, of which one very important point is something that I will touch on. And I want to, it's a secular point, because it's obviously from the realm of psychology, but I want to tie it to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want to tie it to how we Muslims, we believers, can bring it into our lives. So they point out that if you want to lead a happy life, if you want to lead a fulfilling life, because when I say fulfilling, you have to understand that sometimes we have a mistaken notion where there is this baseline where we are all at. We are very comfortable at this baseline. And we all think, we have this mistaken notion, we all think that, you know what, if I get this job, I'm going to be happy. If I get this particular job, I'm going to be happy. If I move into this locality, I'm going to be happy. If I get a child, I'm going to be happy. If I marry so and so, I'm going to be happy. We have this mistaken notion. And then what happens is, at times we reach that destination, okay? You get that job that you were dreaming of, and then there's a spike, yes, in your happiness, but it's temporary. It doesn't last forever, and then you're back to the baseline. So you understand this baseline? We're all stuck at this baseline, and we keep doing things, getting that spike of happiness, and then we come back, and then again, we are striving and searching for that happiness. So they wanted to come up with a solution where we can try to go past this baseline, where we can achieve more happiness, live a fulfilling life. Because it's not about these destinations. Like I said, a job, a house, a wife, a car. All these things are temporary destinations. The minute you achieve it, then you're back to square one again. You're looking at becoming happy all over again, and then your destination shifts to another thing. And we keep shifting from one thing to the other. So psychologists say that you need to bring in gratitude. You need to bring in gratitude in the English language. And this concept is known as shukr in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shukr. You bring in gratitude. You bring in the sense of gratitude, and you're going to live a happy life. You're going to lead a fulfilling life. At times it might be a bit too much to digest, but then when you really think about it, perhaps when you go back home, it's just food for thought. Go back home and think about this concept. Think about being grateful. Firstly, being grateful unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who obviously has given you so much, who has given you a lot. And then likewise, being grateful unto the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Being in service unto others. The minute you bring in this concept, you see, they say that money can't buy happiness. Money can't buy happiness. You can have all the money in the world, yet you could be the most unhappiest person in the world. But in a way, money can buy you happiness. How so? If you use that money to spend it on others. If you use your money to spend it on others, you are becoming fulfilled. You are bringing in happiness into your life. You have the sense of contentment. The minute you see someone else's life light up, the minute you lift someone else up, you feel this sense of contentment and happiness. You know, many of us are depressed these days. Many of us are suicidal these days. And you know what the best cure is for a person who is depressed or suicidal? The best cure is to help another person who is depressed, another person who is down in the dumps, who is in the lows. Help them rise, lift them up, and you feel this sense of contentment, this sense of happiness. Oh, I helped someone else up. I helped someone up in life. I helped them see the light at the end of the tunnel. Subhanallah. And this is the beauty of gratitude. We have a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's reported to have said, "Ajaban li amri al-mu'min." How strange, how wondrous, how amazing are the affairs of a believer. Because life is all about good times and bad times. It's a cycle. Your laughter is not permanent, your tears are not permanent. At times you will laugh, at times you will smile, and at times you will cry. But nothing is permanent. It's a cycle of good times and bad times. And this cycle was even present in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the prophets of the past. The greatest of creation, subhanallah. So he says, how amazing, how wondrous are the affairs of a believer. When he goes through good times, what does he do? He's happy. He renders shukr unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is good for him. And then if he goes through bad times, it's a test from Allah. Allah is testing him. Then what does he do? Does he complain? Does he whine? Does he grumble? Does he question the decree of Allah? No. What does he do? He holds on to patience, sabr. And that is also good for him. And scholars explain that shukr is within sabr as well. Because to hold on to sabr, you need to be grateful. You're going through bad times. You need to look around you and see. Look at the things that you have. You know, there is this meme or, you know, an illustration that is generally shared across social media of a caption. There is this one person driving in a fancy sports car. All right. And then he stops at the red light. There's a person next to him in a bit of a, you know, a normal car, a bit of an old car, if you will. And he looks at the person in the sports car and he thinks, oh, how I wish I had a flashy set of wheels like this particular car. He disregards the fact that he's already in his own car. And then next to him, there's a person in a moped, a motorbike, a motorcycle. He looks at the person in the old car and he says, oh, how I wish I had four wheels. I'm here on a motorbike. And then next to him, there's a person on a push cycle, a bicycle. He looks at the person in the motorcycle and he thinks to himself, oh, how I wish I had a motorcycle. I need to cycle and pedal. And then next to him, there's a person who takes the public transport. He looks at the person in the bicycle and he thinks to himself, well, at least he's got his own mode of transportation. Here I am, I have to take the public transportation. And then there's a person walking. He looks at the person in the bus and he envies him. And then finally, the caption ends with a person on a wheelchair, seated up in a hospital room, looking and yearning at the person who has 2 feet, who's comfortably walking on his own whilst this person is thinking to himself that I need the help of another person to get around and I need to use the wheelchair to get around. You see, it all depends on what you focus on. If you focus on the positives, you will see that there are many positive things in your life. And on the other hand, if you look at the negatives in your life, then yeah, obviously that's going to magnify itself and then you're going to focus on only that which is negative, subhanallah. So it's all about being grateful unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rendering gratitude unto Allah azza wa jal. This is the concept of shukr, a beautiful concept. The minute you bring in this concept, you're going to lead a fulfilling life. You're going to lead a happy life because you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the important thing. You are remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. Each time you render gratitude unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you're doing is you're remembering Allah. You're thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are remembering Him at every juncture, every walk of your life. And then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Noble Quran, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I shall remember you, subhanallah. You remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah Azza wa Jal remembers you. You know, the other day I was teaching the tafsir of Surah Yunus and the story of the Prophet Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Those of you who wish to join my tafsir sessions, it happens on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. onwards at my institution here in Bamlapitiya. You can get in touch with me and find out about the details. 10 a.m. in the morning until almost noon, we study the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ponder and reflect on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Yunus. وَإِنَّ يُونُسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states in the Noble Quran in regard to Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Now he's a prophet. We are all aware of this prophet. But his story is rare. In the sense, it's rarely mentioned. It's rarely mentioned. Or even if it is mentioned, it's mentioned in a summarized way. So alhamdulillah, we were able to go through a number of books of tafsir and extract the story of this great prophet from the Quran as well as the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a prophet from Yunus ibn Matta. He was a prophet from Dhurriyat Ibrahim, from the offspring of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was sent to the people of Nineveh, a huge city with a big population, a big populace. According to some mufassirun, they numbered in the millions. He was sent to a big nation. And they disregarded his message. They mocked him. They abused him. They slandered, you know, him. They taunted him. They ridiculed him. Just as they did with all the prophets of the past. Just as they did with all the prophets of the past. Da'wah in a way is easy today. MashaAllah, Allah has made it easy for us. We are welcomed royally. But the prophets of the past, when they set out on da'wah, they were stoned, they were chased, they were mocked, they were ridiculed. So likewise, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was mocked and ridiculed. He kept calling them, until finally, he prays unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah informs him to inform his people of 3 days' time. If they don't mend their ways, if they don't turn over new leaves, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inevitable. He informs them, he does that part, but then due to him being hurt, due to him being in pain, due to him having this heartache, he left his people. Now this was something he was not instructed by Allah to do. He left his people and he heads towards the ocean. Now what had happened was, he had lost hope in his people. He washed his hands off his people. He was not granted permission, because if you look at the stories of the past, Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not leave his people until Allah informed him to leave. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam did not leave his people until Allah informed him to leave. Salih alayhi salatu wasalam did not leave his people until Allah informed him to leave. Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was upset. He was heartbroken. And he had lost hope in this nation, the people of Nineveh. He left them and he goes to the ocean. What happens? These people, they start to see the dark clouds approaching, the chilly winds blowing. And you won't believe it. They actually made tawbah. They made tawbah. They went, they flocked, and they started to cry unto Allah, oh Allah, forgive us. The elders of the nation started to remind them of the people of the past, of the punishment of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, the punishment of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the people of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And the minute they were reminded about all of these punishments and the stories of the past, they took heed and they turned to Allah in tawbah, and Allah forgave them. Subhanallah. Allah forgave each and every one of them and averted the punishment away. A punishment that was sent to destroy them. But now what had happened? Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was not aware of this. He was on his way to the ocean. He undertakes a sea journey, a voyage. There were sailors who are about to set sail. They see Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam and they take him on board because they see piety around him. They see this aura of spirituality and religiosity on his face. They take him. Now they set out on the journey, and what happens? They get caught to a storm. They get caught to a storm. Subhanallah. And now this ship was mashhoon. Mashhoon in the sense, a heavy laden ship. Fil fulkil mashhoon. This ship was heavy with cargo and passengers. He was actually the last person who could fit into the boat. Now the minute they got caught to the storm, the sailors and the engineers, they decided to lighten the load by throwing cargo overboard. They started to throw the cargo as much as possible, but still the ship was on the tip, in the sense on the verge of tipping over, on the verge of sinking. And now they had to make a crucial decision. We need to throw even passengers overboard to lighten the load. Now who do we throw? And who is going to volunteer and come forward? Yes, throw me overboard. I'm ready to go overboard. So how do we execute this process? So they decide to throw lots, draw lots. فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَضِينَ So they drew lots, and subhanallah, the name that came out, Yunus. Jonah, alayhi salatu wasalam, the prophet Jonah. Now they were in denial. The minute they saw his name, no. We have to draw lots again. This man is so pious, he's religious. We can't throw him overboard, that's impossible. Let's draw lots all over again. And Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was keeping quiet. They drew lots again. And this time too, Yunus, Jonah. The name of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam comes up again. Now, the crew split into two. Half of them were like, look, his name has come up again. We have to throw him overboard. The other half were like, no. He's pious. Let's draw lots one more time. Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was quiet. Now I want you all to put yourselves in the shoes of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Now he's seeing his name coming up again and again. And he's thinking, Allah is bringing my name come up. There's a reason behind this. Allah is going to put me through something. Subhanallah. Third time, they draw lots again. Yunus, Jonah. Yunus ibn Matta. And this time Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam himself stands up. He didn't wait for the people to bicker, argue and fight. He says, thrice my name has come up, throw me overboard. And now you have to understand that this was a process. They were not aiming at just throwing one person. They were planning on throwing as many people as possible to lighten the load. The minute they tied up, the minute they threw Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam overboard, the minute he hit the water, the storm passes, subhanallah. Everything becomes calm all over again. It was as if the storm was for Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Now you're still in the shoes of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Think, you're sinking now. You're sinking. You hit the water and you're sinking. Now what happens? In the Quran, Allah says, فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. That a hoot was sent by Allah. Now the biblical version states that it was a whale, a huge whale that swallowed up Jonah, that swallowed up Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. But in the Quran, it's mentioned that some animal from the ocean, some sea monster, Allah summoned from the depths of the ocean for the purpose of gulping down Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Because you have to think of it, it couldn't have been a shark. If it was a shark, it would have ripped him into shreds. A whale too. Now he needs to go in there. And as per one report, he remained in there for 3 nights. Another report, 7 nights. And the majority of the opinion that he remained inside there for 40 nights. Think about the digestive acids inside the stomachs of animals, creatures, mammals, even ourselves. You know, inside your stomach, you have digestive acids so strong and so corrosive that if you were to take those acids outside and pour it on your skin, it'll burn your skin. It's so strong. So he is going in there and he has to remain in there for 40 nights. So Mufassirun say that it could be some kind of a sea monster that had perhaps been created itself for this purpose. Maybe it had a different compartment in its stomach where it could store Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah summons this monster to come up from the depths of the ocean. And don't think of it to be impossible. I think I have mentioned this in the past. When I was in the Maldives, I went diving. And when I went diving, I went down somewhere 30 feet. And then the divers told me, you know, you actually have to go through a crash course before you go diving. I'm talking about proper underwater scuba diving with the oxygen tanks and whatnot. When you go down, you have to take a crash course. You have to study sign language and all kinds of things, because this does not mean good in diving language. This could mean a lot of trouble. So you need to study all kinds of signs and go underwater. And then when you go underwater, you see a different world, subhanAllah. It's so cool and quiet, and you see all kinds of creations. And those divers told me that each time they go in and they come out, they see something new. They see something new, some species, some creature that they have never ever witnessed before. And there are depths in the ocean that no human being has ever ventured as yet, and it is pitch black. 50 feet, 60, 70, 80 feet, human beings can't go down. Because when you go down, you can't just come up immediately. Those who have gone diving would relate to what I'm saying. You can't come up immediately. You have to come up gradually. If you come up immediately, your lungs will burst because it can't handle the pressure. That's the pressure we're talking about underneath. So there are depths where you can't go because your oxygen tank just lasts for about 30 minutes and then you need time to come up as well. There are special watches to help you with diving to understand the levels of pressure. If you come up all of a sudden, you can burst, in the sense your lungs will burst, subhanAllah. So there are depths human beings have not gone. So think about the creatures living in those depths who have all been created by Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ. And He is Allah who is providing for those creatures in the depths of those parts of the ocean. In that darkness, it is Allah who is providing. So any of these creatures, one creature comes up and swallows him up. And now what happens? He is in the belly of this creature. And then what does he do? Think about it. This is a big problem. A big problem. A big patch of trouble. You're in the middle of the ocean, inside the belly of an animal. You're not going to get mobile reception, no signals, nothing. How are you going to get the message across? Who is going to come and save you? You think there were submarines at that time? Who is going to save him other than Allah? His only refuge is Allah. And what does he do at that juncture, that crucial juncture? فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I shall remember you. He remembers Allah. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. In the depths of the ocean, in pitch black, no food, no drink, no nothing, he keeps repeating this particular dhikr, this particular invocation. La ilaha illa ant. There is no deity worthy of worship other than you, ya Allah. Subhanak, glory be unto you. Inni kuntu minal zalimin. Indeed, I have been of those who have done wrong. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin. He kept repeating this until Allah delivered him from that particular problem, subhanAllah. Allah made the creature come up and throw him out. And Allah says in the Quran that if not for the fact that he had glorified Allah, لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبَعَثُونَ. If he had not glorified Allah, he would have remained in the belly of that whale until the day of Qiyamah. The sea monster. He would have remained in the belly of that animal until the day of Qiyamah. The belly of that animal would have become his grave if he had not glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He glorified Allah, he remembered Allah, and Allah took him out from that problem. Subhanallah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this is the point. The minute you make Allah your main objective, you have nothing to worry about. And that's why Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. say that He is Allah, the One. The One in the sense, He is the one and only main and ultimate objective in all of our lives. If you try to make anything else your objective, some of us have made our jobs our objectives. Some of us have made our businesses our objectives. Some of us have made our families our objectives. Some of us have made our children our objectives. Some of us have made our spouses our objectives. The minute you replace Allah with something, firstly, Allah tests you through that very thing. That's one thing that you have to bear in mind. Allah tests you through that thing. If you make your job priority, Allah will test you through your job. If you make your money your priority, Allah will test you through your money. If you make your family your priority over Allah, Allah will test you through your family. If you make your children priority over Allah, Allah will test you through your children. If you make your spouse priority over Allah, Allah will test you through your spouse. And remember, you're latching yourself onto something that's temporary. The minute you lose your job, you become depressed. You lose a sense of purpose because it's temporary. And then you lose your sense of purpose in life. You feel like you have nothing to do. You become suicidal. You go into depression and all kinds of problems. You lose a loved one, you become depressed. You lose your child, you become suicidal. And that's why you're supposed to latch yourself unto Allah, because Allah is not temporary. Allah is permanent. Allah is eternal. Allah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. He is eternal. He is everlasting. Everything else is temporary. Everything else is temporary. Everything else is going to fade away. So if you want happiness in this world, if you want happiness in the next, then latch yourself unto Allah. We feed our bodies. We feed our bodies, but we are neglecting our souls. And our souls keep crying out to us, why are you neglecting me? Why are you neglecting me? Feed me as well. Feed me as well. We're feeding our bodies good food, mashallah. We go to the gym, we do all kinds of things and keep our bodies all fit. But then our souls are weak and are dying. In one particular hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said along the lines of these words, the difference between a person who remembers Allah and does not remember Allah is like the living and the dead, subhanallah. Think about it. What do you need to live? You can go without food for some time. You can go without water for some time. But can you go without oxygen for a long time? 5 minutes, 10 minutes max and you're dead. You can't go without oxygen for a long time. Likewise, you can't go without the remembrance of Allah for a long time. If you turn away from Allah, you're going to die a spiritual death. And if you die a spiritual death, because remember, your body is temporary. The minute you die, your body is going to rot in the grave. But your soul traverses from one stage to the other. You will move on. Your soul existed before this. In Alamul Arwah, in the world of the souls. And then it came into this world. And now it's going to go into the barzakh. And then from there onwards, it moves on to Al-Akhirah. So your soul keeps traversing. Your soul keeps moving. So you need to focus on your souls. Don't let your souls die a spiritual death before you actually die. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, every morning in the wee hours, he would go and he would spend many hours remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah, his student, makes mention that one day when I went to meet Shaykhul Islam, he was remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he tells me that this is my breakfast. What's our breakfast? Omelettes and cereals and cornflakes and whatnot. The breakfast of the scholars of the past, dhikr. Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam in the middle of the ocean, in the belly of that monster, what was his food? Dhikr. Remembering Allah. He came out weak. When this monster threw him out, he was weak. He was weak. Allah says in the Quran, وَهُوَ سَقِيمٌ. He was ill, he was sick. Physically he was ill and sick, but spiritually he was strong, because he did not die a spiritual death. He connected himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he remained so. Therefore, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, think about it. Put your priorities straight. As believers, Allah has blessed us with so much. Let's be grateful unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of whether we are going through good times or trying times. Allah puts each and every one of us through tests. We all have our fair share of tests to go through. But when we go through these tests, Let's make sure to persevere. Let's make sure to be patient. Let's make sure to rectify our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the minute that happens, Allah is there to solve your problems. And there is no better solver of problems than Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. The one who is conscious of Allah, Allah makes a way out for him from every single problem. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And the one who places his trust in Allah, Allah is sufficient for him, Allah is enough for him. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. Allah is sufficient for us as He is the best disposer of all of our affairs. So place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Render gratitude unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Work on your souls, work on your hearts. Work towards bringing in positive feelings. Positive feelings in regard to yourself, in regard to the people around you, and in regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think good thoughts about Allah. Think good thoughts about the people around you. Think good thoughts about yourself. And you will live, inshallah, a positive, fulfilling and happy life in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. May He accept our deeds. May He accept our good deeds. May He bless us all, and may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, just as how He unites us here this Friday for the Jumu'ah khutbah. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wayan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.